Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, recording on Thursday, the 9th of May, at an early 5:35 p.m. And the reason for that is because I have a Fuller Money-related business event to attend to. And Owen, of course, is teaching the chart seminar. But there's certainly something to talk about here at this stage, although I would of the day's activity, although I would say it's a quiet day here overall. And that's not surprising given the short-term overbought condition of a good many markets. And they range from the United States to Japan, but both are certainly extremely interesting stories. Japan, largely because of its dramatic reflationary efforts, which I have received mixed reviews, although I think they're really quite positive, and I think that's reflected by what we've seen in the stock market action. And then Wall Street, where the shale gas story is really very, very important and gives the U.S. a terrific energy cost advantage among the major industrialized and manufacturing countries. But now let's have just a quick look here at what's actually going on today. And among these overbought markets in the Asia-Pacific region, we've got more declines than gains in here today. And Japan, well, I see the TOPIX index was down just over 1%. Smaller declines for the others. The Nikkei 225 only down two-thirds of a percent. Now, Hong Kong down a fraction. China also slightly lower. The biggest plus in the markets, Asian markets here today, was Korea, and that's benefiting from an interest rate cut and also a weaker currency. And that's been important for Korea since the yen has weakened considerably, albeit from what had been an incredibly high level for a very long time. So that's the main story. Some of the ASEAN markets are steady, and those include the Philippines, Indonesia. Indonesia is up almost 1%, and Thailand. Malaysia heading the other way with a small decline of less than 0.5%. And India, which has been very strong recently, but here we've seen a little bit of a pause, down 0.25% on the Sensex index. Now, looking at the European markets, also a little bit mixed. FTSE a fraction higher. One of the bigger declines is the Italian market, but it's only down 1%, and that's less than the gain, I believe, that we saw yesterday. Swiss market's doing well in here today, up 1.45%, and Sweden's OMX is also up over 1%, but a general tone of consolidation here, and again, I repeat, some overbought conditions among these markets as well. Wall Street has mostly been hovering around the break-even level here today, maybe down a fraction on the S&P, 3 points currently. And Brazil is one of the firmer markets, Mexico one of the softer ones in here today. But again, I emphasize a small percentage moves here overall. It's at least a pause to catch breath. Now, why might that be actually taking place? Well, there seems to be a consensus that's developed, and it helped to push the S&P 500 index above the 16,000 level, and it's risen for the last 5 days, moving into steadily into new high ground. And the view re at the moment, and this is certainly subject to change, but is that the U.S. market might actually have a couple of years more of a run of this sort before people have to worry about quantitative easing actually ending. And the Fed has been in no hurry to dispel those beliefs. So the Fed is still more concerned about its focus on employment factors and also the general overall sort of weakness of the U.S. economy. And it's also in an effort to counterbalance the tax increases that we have seen from the Obama administration, and also the more cautious, appropriately more cautious approach to spending that we're seeing from the private sector. But I think that while the unemployment figures, I think, face a real challenge, as I mentioned this before, but I think it comes from the accelerated rate of technological innovation. So I think it's going to be very hard to get the unemployment figures down to what the Fed would like to see. It's closer to 6%. But what we do know is that commodity prices had come down in the last few months. They've firmed up a little bit in the last 2 to 3 weeks, but basically the trend has been one of ranging lower overall. Some quite steep falls, particularly in the industrial metals. Then we had the precious metal decline. We also had staple grains moving lower. And so I think the Fed has felt secure in pursuing with its quantitative easing program. The only problem is, if there is a problem in all this, is that the stock market has tended to discount a lot of good news. And that's reflected in the overbought conditions and the gains that we've seen on so many charts. Now, I want to put it in perspective. All along in here, I've been looking for a reaction and consolidation phase that was consistent with what one normally sees in bull markets. And that's exactly what we've been getting. A few markets around the world fell more sharply, and that looked like more of a correction. Certainly, many of the European markets qualified on that basis, as did Mexico, which had been one of the stronger performers before its present corrective phase. And then, of course, some of the resources markets, particularly in the mining sector, have seen much, much larger reactions overall. But you net it all out, and markets are not all doing the same thing, which is good, and also the action among the major markets is very much in line with an overall bull market consolidation. So I want to emphasize that point because the overall tone here is favorable. But again, I return to that point that investors, if there's a growing feeling that they might have a couple of years before the Fed starts to wind down quantitative easing, QE, that they can discount a lot of the benefit of that in the market environment really very, very quickly. I don't think the Fed has any certainty in terms of view as to how long it'll persist with QE, but it's under no pressure to remove it at this stage, and actually feels that it is needed and a positive development. And I would agree with that overall. But we are likely to get a more cautious stance from the Fed I think later on this year. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But it would require a trigger, and one of the triggers would, of course, be a fall in unemployment, and that has been edging down. An important trigger would be if commodity prices were to pick up from current levels. That remains to be seen if that will actually happen. And just overall general GDP growth, if it's still slow and sluggish, then the Fed would have no real reason for changing its policies. But remember, we have an awful lot of QE going on. I mean, the input from Japan now is massive, and you've got that plus the ECB in its own stimulative actions, and then the Fed. So there's a lot of reflationary effort in the system here overall, and that is creating this, or it's keeping markets at somewhat overbought levels. But I think downside risk here in the near term is limited to no more than reactions within what remains an overall upward trend. Okay, what about the long-dated government bond prices? I think we've seen the best part of the rally that we're going to get for a while, and most of these bond markets are still range bound overall. Yields are very low. This has been a 31-year plus bull market in terms of falling yields and rising bond prices. That alone ought to warn every investor that this is a very late stage and in what has been a very major bull market advance overall, and it ensures that there are some pretty significant medium to longer term risks. Now, I don't think the bond market's in much danger while the quantitative easing actually continues, but when sentiment does start to change, when the Fed begins to reduce QE, for instance, the bond market could is well, I think it will fall very, very sharply. In other words, yields will push upwards really quite sharply. And I think the current quiet, steady behavior here overall is lulling a number of bond investors around the world into a false sense of security here. And you know the old phenomenon, the urge in bull market environments. You know it's getting mature, you know it's not going to go on forever, but people become like junkies. Just give me one more new high. And I think we may not see many more new highs, if any more new highs, in long-dated government bond prices. And indeed, they may well, I've already said it, they will move significantly lower and yield significantly higher over the medium to longer term, and that will cause problems. The big hurdle out there, which I've mentioned in pretty well every one of these audios for a while, will be the actual ending of the quantitative easing. That will be convulsive. I've in a way downplayed it. Warren Buffett described it as the shot that'll be heard around the world. And it's my view that it will produce, at minimum, a significant corrective phase, and that might also qualify as a cyclical bear market. But cyclical bear markets, that's anything from 20, say 35%. I don't think it would be bigger than that, and or certainly not much. But that is an obvious hurdle out there, and it would be good to lighten a little bit before we move into that. And there'll be some time to do that. I feel quite strongly. Okay, looking around elsewhere here in terms of currencies, the two big stories really. We've got a very, very strong Chinese currency, the CNY. actually is now, it's been so strong that there are now 6.13 renminbi to the US dollar. And that's the lowest we've seen. It's been quite a sharp decline in the last couple of days. I mentioned yesterday that I felt that this was becoming overextended. Well, it's a little bit more overextended tomorrow. I beg your pardon, it's a little bit overextended today. And there are certainly going to be limits to China's preference on the downside here. Excuse me, I'm just going to take a quick drink of water. Just to repeat that point, I don't think China will want to see its currency appreciate all that much further, as that will compound export problems in what's a sort of a generally sluggish global economy. Now, that's also reflected in commodity prices, although industrial metals have steadied near their lows, and they're a little bit softer in here today, but they have not reversed anything like the rally that we've seen in the last 2 to 3 weeks, which was led by led by copper. My feeling is that industrial metals had fallen to levels that could well hold for the medium to somewhat longer term, but I think more ranging support building will be required before we see significant recoveries in those prices. Among other industrial commodities, crude oil prices, they're easing a little bit in here. The Brent crude price is down to 103 and change. The risk of a spike to the upside, despite some of the political problems that we see among not least Middle East producers, while there's plenty of unrest in that region, nevertheless, we see an increasing amount of crude oil not only being produced. The U.S. is, of course, now a very significant producer once again, but we also have the inroads that natural gas is making, and it's replacing the use of crude in a number of areas, ranging from really homes to power stations. And that's, of course, lowering the risk of any kind of further spike of significance in energy prices. As veteran subscribers will know, one of my biggest concerns that I in the last few years is that I did not want to see another energy spike similar to what we saw in 2007 and early 2008, because those really are game changers. And I think that as time moves forward, that risk will continue to lessen, and has certainly lessened in the last few years with all the solar in particular among the renewables, also considerably more of that expensive wind power. But the big change in the energy sector is, of course, the shale operations, particularly for natural gas. And we're going to see a lot more of that over the next decade or two, at least, in my opinion. Now, let's have a quick look at precious metals here right now. They're a little bit easier today, although I noticed palladium's higher. That's back just above the $700 level. And well, platinum's also a little bit firmer, $1,509. But we have small declines in silver and gold here today. Gold currently trading at 1460.67. Now, gold bulls, and there are plenty of them, really from Chinese and Indian private investors to central banks that wish to acquire more gold. But there's also a little bit of a feeling, particularly in the West, that there is some overhang of supply that could on the part of investors and speculators that could keep prices under a little bit of pressure. I think we're going to see or that we're actually in a sort of a relatively quiet period now for precious metals. And the most interesting test that we will get, I think we will see a partial retracement of the rallies that we have seen to date. But I think there's a good chance that the lows actually hold, or if they don't hold, I don't think the prices will go down much lower. But at this stage, I'd say the probability is that the lows will actually hold, but we may need to see, we're likely to see a pullback and some right-hand extension base formation development. But I classify the gold action to the downside that we've seen since those highs in 2011 as a cyclical bear trend within a secular bull market, and I don't think that secular bull market is over. I can't be certain that we will see it see it resume because the technical action does not yet show the potential for that overall. But I think the soft currencies, all the money, all the liquidity sloshing around in the system will certainly keep plenty of people very, very interested in gold and other precious metals as hard money. And provided interest rates don't go up too quickly, then I think that will be reflected in higher precious metal prices over the medium term. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.